मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। सो वेलकम वंस अगेन टू एवरीवन टू द फॉर द लास्ट सेशन ऑफ 2020 ऑन द लास्ट डे। Somehow the our Q&A session on 31st December coincided, and we are getting this opportunity to spend this evening together. 31st evening means nicely drink, eat and sleep, vomit in between, get up at night in between some time and vomit and again sleep. And again in the morning, I should say afternoon, and get up in the afternoon around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and again eat and sleep. That's how the Western culture talks about. That's how people who follow the Western culture do. So there's a very nice thing. Just a minute. So as we discussed the last Sunday, that we have our own treasure. Why to copy someone else? So this new year, you know, it's a very nice time to meditate on various aspects. So towards the end of the session, I'll be speaking about it. And what can be our meditation? What questions can we ask to ourselves on this last day of 2020? And what plan and what resolutions to make, you know, from tomorrow? So we'll discuss that. So now we'll start with the Q&A session. So I request you all to post your questions and I'll start answering the questions. Now it's 7:20. Till 8:15 or something, we will discuss various questions. Yes, please go ahead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Last time I forgot to take questions from the YouTube. I request you all also to post the question, whoever is watching on YouTube. I'll try to take. Is Yogi and Sthita Pragya one or two different personalities? So let's understand first who is a Yogi. So Yogi basically means a person who's practicing yoga. So any yoga for that matter. Now we'll have one session, exclusive session, I guess second or third session of advanced Gita course, a level 2 Gita course, which is titled as the Yoga Ladder. So in this session, we will see the different yoga systems which are available. So every yoga system, when someone, any yoga system, when someone follows, that person is called as a yogi. Anyone follows yoga is yogi. And what is yoga? Yoga comes from the word, you know, yuj, that is to connect. Connect with whom? Connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyone who is striving to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be called as a yogi. Now, and nowadays, you know, anyone and everyone takes that name as yogi. So we are not talking about them. So that person can be called as yogi. But who is a Sthita Pragya? A Sthita Pragya is the one, you know, who, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has started practicing bhakti and was become stable in bhakti. So the last few verses of second chapter, starting from verse number 54 to verse number 71, that talks about how Sthita Pragya speaks, how Sthita Pragya walks, how Sthita Pragya sits. That is, how does he control his senses? How does he engage his senses? How does he speak in the critical situation? And what are his general symptoms that, you know, Krishna is discussing in Bhagavad Gita? So if a yogi has attained this state already, so they both are same. But if a person has just started practicing and just started practicing any of the yoga system, so he can also be called as yogi. But then at that time, there's a difference between Sthita Pragya and yogi. So hope you understand the difference between the two. Let me take the next question. What is the significance of the color blue when it comes to Lord's appearance? Blue is a very special color. So when it comes to the blue color, it is not something which is, and it's actually not blue. It is blackish blue, and the color is actually of the newly rain-filled cloud, fresh rain-filled cloud that is formed in the rainy season or the monsoon season. Navadhara Jala Shyama, this is what is the color. Navadhara Jala means newly formed monsoon cloud. Shyama, that is what is the color. So blackish, bluish color. That is the color of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this color is not something, which Lord just manifests like that when he appears here. That is the original color that the Lord has. Megasham. This is another name, Megasham. Yes. So this is the natural color of the Lord. So there is no question of why this color or what is special about this color. One thing is, this color is very special because we will not find people having this color in this material world. Yes. And the other thing is, Lord is showing that I might be blackish blue, but I'm the most beautiful one. So his name is Shyama Sundara. In this world, if someone is black, it's a question mark if we can call that person as beautiful or not. But then when it comes to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's Shyam, is blackish blue, and at the same time, he's Sundar. So he's called Shyama Sundar. You will see, Lord will take some forms like the Bhor incarnation, Varaha incarnation, or Vamana incarnation, Matsya, Kurma. Now, all these animals are like aquatics, fish and tortoise, and this boar, pig, that we find in filthy places. But the Lord is showing that when I come in these forms, still I'm the most beautiful one. So Lord is proving like that. So there is no specific reason as such, why this black color or what is significant. So there's no specific as such. Hope this helps you. Need your blessings to be advanced. Yes, my prayers are always there. Every day without fail, I pray for all my Gita course students. Every day morning, we have Mangalarti at 4:30. And we do, after Mangalarti, we have Narasimha Arati, and after that, we have Tulsi Arati. So in Tulsi Arati, every single day without fail, I make sure I do extra pradakshina, remembering all of you. And when I'm doing a service to the Lordships, personally offering bhoga and doing other service, again, I pray for all of you all, for your fast spiritual advancement. Not just me, the entire online Gita course team, all the volunteers, without fail, every day, pray for you all. In fact, there are some volunteers, some mentors, your names have been written on the paper and that has been stuck in their altar so that, they don't forget to pray for you. Can you imagine this? So you all are very fortunate, to have such volunteers and mentors. Yes, I am praying without fail religiously every day, every single day I pray. What is the shape of the soul? So this is a frequently asked question. So I was trying to understand from the Shastra. So here we understand that when it comes to the shape of the soul, so it is like 1/10,000 tip of the hair. It's basically like a spark. It's 1/10,000 tip of the hair. So we cannot understand what is the shape of the soul. But then this Chitghan, or this spiritual spark which is there, that original form is there in the spiritual world. And what is that original form? That original form is all of us have got some unique relationship with Krishna, unique Swarupa. That is a technical term, Swarupa. So when we perfect our life, when we come to a very high level, advanced form of doing bhakti, so at that time, our relationship with Krishna will be revealed. What is that unique relationship with Krishna? And our form will also be revealed at that time. So that will be our original form. So that will be the shape of the soul. That's what I can say. Where will we get original Upanishads and Puranas? Original Upanishad is Gita Upanishad, and original Purana is Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavat Purana. These two are enough. Don't try to explore more than this, because life is very, very short, extremely short. If we get into swimming in the ocean of the Vedic literatures, we might drown. So I would request that please don't try this at home. Now please don't go for those 108 Upanishads and 18 Puranas. So I would not recommend at all. Just try to perfect Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If these two books we can perfect, because Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad, Gita Upanishad, and Bhagavat is a Purana, Bhagavat Purana. If we can perfect these two, it's more than enough to go back, come back to Godhead, to break the cycle of birth and death. Mm. So this is what is my humble request, that don't try to search. And even if we search, we might not get, because all glories to the Britishers. They burnt various Vedic scriptures, and many of them have been burnt. Yes. We need resolutions which will help us to take forward. You have guided us all along, but still some quick tips. I will do that at the end of the session. I will be speaking about New Year resolution. Whatever is happening in this yuga cycle, will it repeat in the next yuga cycle also? Hmm. So not whatever. Hmm. It's like, so we are going to discuss this in detail. It's a very technical subject matter. The next session is on Sunday, that is 3rd of Jan 2021. We're going to have a session titled as Kala, time. Hmm. So this time factor we're going to discuss, we are going to actually calculate. We all will be doing that on the pen and paper. So what is the age of Brahma? Mm-hmm. So there, you know, one nice thing is given. In the one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. One Manu consists of 71 Divya Yugas. And one Divya Yuga means Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga and Satya Yuga combined together. So like that, there are 14 into 71 Divya Yugas that will happen in one day of Brahma. Means one yuga cycle that we're talking about. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. Like that, how many we have? 71 into 14. So now it is described that Lord Krishna will appear only once in the day of Brahma. That is 14 into 71 times the calculation that comes. In that entire calculation, only once Krishna will appear. And can you imagine? Krishna appeared in this Divya Yuga. 28th Divya Yuga is going on now. Out of the 71, 28th Divya Yuga is going on. 28th Yuga cycle is going on. So we are very, very fortunate. So this one thing will not repeat. Krishna will not appear again in the next Yuga and after that. It's only once in the day of Brahma. So this is what is the thing which will be different. And whereas the other Yuga avatars, every Yuga there will be an avatar. So those avatars will keep coming and giving the Yuga Dharma so that people can perfect their life. And another thing that I was hearing is, it's not that every Kali Yuga will get this Mahamantra to go back, come back to God. This Kali Yuga is very, very fortunate Kali Yuga, auspicious Kali Yuga. Why? Because this Mahamantra is given, and this Mahamantra is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna himself. This will be the last session of the Level 2 Gita course, the 9th session, where we'll be discussing the Kali Yuga incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna, who gave the Mahamantra. So, this Mahamantra will not be given in every Kali Yuga first. And even if it is given, so that might not really get us the highest destination. So, in this way, this is what I was hearing in one of the lectures. So, we are very, very fortunate like that, to take birth in this Kali Yuga. And also, Prabhupada might not come every Kali Yuga. So, this Kali Yuga is very special because just one age before, it was Dwapara Yuga and Krishna appeared. And then this Kali Yuga, Prabhupada appeared, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kali Yuga incarnation of Lord Krishna appeared. And very, very important, we have appeared. So this is very, very special. So yes, this is what it is. And at the end of the lifespan of Brahma, we'll see that in the next session. I'll not get into that now. There'll be Mahapralaya. Mahapralaya, everything will be destroyed. So that will happen at the end of the day of Lord Brahma. Yes. So this way, we'll have this cycle repeating. So after Kali Yuga, again, Satya Yuga is going to come. So after this Kali Yuga, again, Satya Yuga will manifest. And again, it will go on like that till the end of the life of Lord Brahma. And obviously, there is something called as a partial annihilation. There's a pralaya, but not Mahapralaya. There's a pralaya. So that pralaya will happen at the end of the day of Brahma. So there, out of 14 planetary systems, lower 11 planetary systems are destroyed. Only the first three, they are retained. Brahma Loka, then Mahar Loka, and I think Jana Loka, these three. So they are retained as it is, but the others will get inundated in water. That's what is the description that is given. That is at the end of the day of Brahma. And everything will get vanquished at the end of the life of Brahma. Anyways, we'll go through this in the next session. Okay, what is the form of the spiritual body? I think I already answered this question. So one nice thing is there'll be no difference between the spirit and the body. As of now, there's a difference, right? We are a spirit soul and we are inside the body, and then we have a body outside. So there will be no difference between the two later when we attain our spiritual form. So like Krishna. Now Krishna, there is nothing called as inside Krishna and outside Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. He is completely spiritual. So we'll also get a completely spiritual form when we perfect this human form of life. That is breaking the cycle of birth and death, getting rid of this gross body, getting rid of the subtle body, and becoming free as a spiritual spark. Then we attain our eternal spiritual form. Hope this helps you. Why can't our mind ever achieve peace? How do we stop it wandering? So it's a nice question by Ashwini Mataji. You know, what is the answer? Mind's nature is like that. Arjuna is saying, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayur eva sudushkaram. So Arjuna is saying that, O Krishna, tasyaham nigraham manye vayur eva sudushkaram. I can control the violent wind. I repeat, Arjuna is saying that I can control the violent wind, O Krishna, but I cannot control this mind. Arjuna is saying that. That's how the nature of the mind, because from many lifetimes, we have done so much nonsense. We cannot imagine also. We cannot imagine how much nonsense we have done in so many lifetimes. All that nonsense is there now in the subtle body, mind, intelligence. Now it is there. And all that will keep popping up every now and then. You know, with time, with so many lifetimes, we all have acquired a certain type of nature. All of us have got different natures. You will see that, you know, there'll be unique natured people around us. Unique natured people. So this is one of the important things that we need to understand, that because of this unique nature of ours and the unique impressions that we have on our mind, it's very difficult to keep the mind stable. Very difficult. But then, if Krishna, he conquers our mind, then yes, then our mind can become stable and peaceful. See, going to a yoga studio and sitting like this and meditating on nothing might give peace or some stability for those 1 or 2 hours or that particular half of the day or something. But then mind's nature is to come back. Like for example, you take a wire, like earphones. Let's take the example of earphones. You know, when we have, you know, the earphone wires. Nowadays, it's all Bluetooth, so we don't have wires. You know, but previously, we had those wire ones. So if you just keep it like that for some time, you'll see that without our notice, it will start, you know, somehow curling. Yes, it'll become curled completely. And then you again stretch it, leave it, again it will get curled. Yes. It's like when we do some meditation, it's like pulling and making it straight. And then when we leave it, again, it comes back to its original form. That's what happens with the mind. With the normal meditation, you know, that happens, which people do. So it's like stretching for some time. But how long can we keep it like this? Very difficult. As soon as it is left, again, it will come back to its form. So this is the point, you know, that is there. It's very difficult to control the mind because the mind's nature is to become disturbed all the time. So in this way, what we need to understand is, if the nature is changed, like for example, if that rubber's nature or wire's nature is changed, and if it is made straight, then it will remain straight. So that nature has to change. And who can do that? Only Krishna can do that. Krishna is that software engineer who can change the software inside us. This hardware and subtle body is the software. So he can change the software. We cannot do that. So that is the glory of devotional service. Anyone who practices bhakti, take it from me, write it down if you want. Anyone who practices bhakti intensely, not just like that, thanda thanda nahi. No thanda thanda cool cool. intense bhakti, if someone does intense bhakti every single day, because of the fire of that intensity, what happens is the nature of the person will change. Who will change the nature? Not he himself. Krishna will change that nature of the person. And then the person will become completely peaceful and stable. That is the reason we see that the great sadhus, the great devotees, they are peaceful within. Why? Because they have been conquered by Krishna. And why did Krishna conquer them? Because they wanted to get conquered by Krishna. Yes. They wanted to get conquered by Krishna. That was their desire, and Krishna conquered them. So this is a very, very important point. All of us have to understand this. Yes. So Sarva Dharman Parityajam Amekam Sharanam Raja Aam Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami. Krishna is saying, surrender on to me, I'll take care of you. When we have a desire to get conquered by Krishna, and when we surrender to Krishna, Krishna conquers us by His beauty, by His wonderful, merciful qualities. And when He conquers us, oh, our mind will become completely pacified. There's one very beautiful shloka which a great soul, Shla Rupa Goswami, quotes. He says, Tunde tandavini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye Karna kroda kadambini gatayate karna budebhyas praham Chetaha prangana sangini vijayate Cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim na jano janita kriyat viramritae krishneti varnadvai. This is a very nice shloka, but then not very motivating shloka. Let me tell you the meaning. So this shloka has been written by a pure devotee, and all the pure devotees feel this shloka. What is this shloka says? This shloka says that when I chant the holy name of the Lord, Krishneti Varna Dvai, Dvi Varna, there's Krishna, there's two syllables, Krishna. This devotee is saying, there's so much of sweetness in this two syllable, Krishna, that when I chant Krishna, I feel like having thousands and thousands of mouth. Tunde Tandavini Ratam Vitanute. Thousands and thousands of mouth. And when this holy name enters my ears, it feels like having thousands and thousands of ears. Karna Kroda Kadambini Ghatayate Karna Bradebhyas Praham. And then when it enters my heart, Chetaha Prangana Sangini Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritim. It's, you know, it says that when the holy name gets into my heart, my all my senses get conquered completely. By whom? By Lord Sri Krishna. And then he says, then the person is completely stable in highest bliss. This is called as conquering the mind. See, whatever motivational talk we hear, let me give some motivational talk. Yes, give your 100%. You can do it. You have the potential. This. 1, 2, 3. Follow these steps and you will completely control your mind. And it is already there in you. It's already there in you. You know, this is what people talk about. But that's all bogus. You know what is the real thing? The real thing is when we elevate on the platform of bhakti and when we get rid of the contamination that is there in our heart, which has been accumulated from many, many lifetimes, what happens? Automatically, we'll start relishing the taste of bhakti. And when we get that higher taste, the mind will not linger around, you know, for the lower taste. And when that happens, mind becomes stable, mind becomes steady, because mind is focused on Krishna. So how to do that? So the answer to your question is by intensely practicing bhakti every single day. See, if someone is not practicing bhakti properly, trust me, that person can never conquer the mind. Never. He'll always remain in anxiety, always troubled by small things of this world, because mind has got a nice characteristic. What is that? A thing which is like a mustard seed, some problem in our life, it's like a mustard seed. It will magnify, and make it like a big Himalayan mountain. That's how people get into depression. You know, sometimes when people come for counseling and when I hear their problem, it feels like, oh, what is the problem? Can you please repeat what is the problem? I don't understand what is the problem sometimes. But then that small problem which is there, oh, it's like huge. So this is what is a characteristic of mind, right? So a person who is not practicing bhakti has to suffer like anything. And we see that. even if the person is a big shot, having lots of money, lots of fame, a big celebrity, whatever, but mind will not spare him. So it is very important that this manaha, this mind, has to be engaged in Krishna's service. And that's what Krishna is saying. Man mana bhava madbhakto, 1865 Bhagavad Gita. He says, man mana bhava madbhakto, think about me. Engage your mind in thinking about me, Krishna is saying. Why is he saying that? Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita, two times he says, 9th chapter, 34th verse, and 18th chapter, 65 verse. These two verses, first line is, man mana bhava madbhakto. Why Krishna is saying this? Because this is a very, very important thing. If someone can engage the mind in Krishna's service, mind is completely controlled, the person will be peaceful, happy, stable. And the bliss that the person relishes, the sloka that I just chanted, a person is feeling that I want thousands and thousands of ears, thousands and thousands of mouth. Yes, and here with one mouth, 2 ears, you know, we are like, I think this is more than enough for more than enough for me as of now to chant the Maha Mantra on the beads. So yes, we have to practice bhakti intensely, and we will reach that highest destination to relish, you know, the mellows of Krishna consciousness. Hope this answers your question. Okay, help us know more about pranic healing. How good is it to heal someone who is suffering? By helping them heal, do we become part of their karmas? May I request you something? Why we want to heal their suffering of this life only? If we really want to do some healing, let's heal them for eternity. Little healing here and there is okay. Okay, appreciated. But then the big task or the thankless task is if someone can heal the person for eternity forever. And that person is called as a preacher of Bhagavad Gita. The one who learns Bhagavad Gita and one who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita. That person is a real healing person. He can heal anyone and everyone. Yes, so that's very nice. And also, when nature has given some setup, and when the person is going through his own karmic reactions, we don't have much right to go and change the karma of the person. And that is also there. It's very nice, when people are trying to help people, other people, that's very good. But then we'll not be able to do much. Please understand, we are chutkus. Now, in my videos, you'll hear this. Now, we are chutku. Chutku. 1/10,000 tip of the hair. That is what is our size. And how can we ourselves, being so small, so incapable, so stuck in the cycle of birth and death, go and change someone else's karma? Is it possible? Think about it. So we cannot actually do the software change. Hardware, to some extent, we can do. But then that hardware change will depend on the software which is there within. Yes. And now the software that I'm talking about is the karma software. So everyone has that different set of karma, and we cannot change karma. Now, unnecessarily, if we just go on and keep doing that and give false hope to people that I will completely heal you from all your suffering, no, that's not good. No, that's a false hope that we are giving. But then, if we can perfect our life in bhakti and give that bhakti to someone else, no, that would be so amazing. That person will be healed for his entire life. Yes. So I'm not against what this healing is all about. That's good. No, I do appreciate. That's an art. But then I would appreciate more, if someone can heal the person for eternity than for temporary things here and there. And one thing I can tell for sure is the person cannot be healed to the fullest, because the suffering is because of the karma, and we have no power to change the karma of any person, because we cannot change our own karma. What to talk about others? But if someone practices bhakti, what is that shloka? I think 2nd chapter, 49th shloka, Bhagavad Gita, it says, Ube sukruta dushkrute. Anyone who practices bhakti, tasmad yogaya ujjasva, ube sukruta dushkrute. Something, it comes like that, where Krishna is saying, just by practicing bhakti, all the karmic reactions which are there, everything is burnt. Everything is burnt. The person gets rid of the bondage completely. So that is what is very much important. Now, if we can do that, if we can help a person to become a devotee, become a nice fixed up devotee, No, then the person is healed it for eternity. Yes. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I conveyed a message. Okay. What is the significance of chanting 16 rounds? You know something? We have to chant 64 rounds, not 16 rounds, 64 rounds. But then the Acharya of the age of Kali Yuga, that is Srila Prabhupada, very, very mercifully, he has brought down the number 64 to 16. And 16 is minimum. Minimum 16 rounds, Prabhupada said, that minimum 16 rounds you chant. Yes. So that is minimum. 16 rounds is minimum. It is not maximum. And the significance is, it is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that he reduced 64 to 16. Just imagine, if you have to chant 64 rounds every day, it takes 8 hours. When we'll do our office work, when we'll do household work. And so it's mercy. That's the significance of 16 times, 16 rounds. So there is one question. Is it okay to place bhoga for God when there is some sutaka at home? As you once said, it is always good to eat prasadam. Also, can we chant during this time? Kindly enlighten. Okay. So, see, there are two important path. I shouldn't say path. I should say two important things that we need to follow in our life, to go forward in or advance in Krishna consciousness. One is called as Bhagavata Vidhi, procedure. Bhagavata Vidhi, and other is called as Pancharatrika Vidhi. Bhagavata Vidhi consists of chanting, reading, hearing, all that is Bhagavata Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi means deity worship, where we worship the deity, Archana Vidhi basically, where we do Archana, where we worship the deities and all that. So when Sutak happens, when a person dies or when a person takes birth, so depending on our which Varna we belong to, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the number of days differ. Like for example, I'm not very sure about the number, I'm just giving some number which I faintly remember. So for Brahmanas, it is 10 days of Sutak. For Kshatriyas, it is like 13 days of Sutak. Vaishyas is 15 days, Shudras 30 days. So something like that is there. So for those many days, Pancharatrika Vidhi cannot be followed. A person is contaminated because of the thoughts of the person who has died or who has taken birth. So that Sutak applies. So that contamination remains. So because of that, Pancharatrika Vidhi cannot be followed. Pancharatrika means doing aarti, offering bhoga and all that. Yes. But when it comes to this Bhagavata Vidhi, we can continue chanting. We can continue hearing, coming to, hearing the satsang programs and other things. We can do that. So that is valid. But we cannot follow Pancharatrika at that time. So that has to be stopped for some time. Yes. So what can we do at this time? We can mentally offer to Krishna. That's what we can do because physically we cannot. So at least mentally we can offer to Krishna, saying, please accept this offering. As of now, I'm not eligible or qualified to come close to you because of the contamination that I'm in. Yes. So this prayer we can offer, mentally we can offer. And so, it is also recommended to have some offered tulasis with us. So when you offer tulasis, we can store it somewhere. And when such tough times come, we can just put that tulasi in it and then offer a prayer to Krishna and just then we can have it. So this is what is the patch-up solution that is given in the patch-up situations. Hope this helps you. But chanting can never be stopped, please remember. Even females, when they go through some days in the month where they're not supposed to do Pancharatrika Vidhi, they can do Bhagavata Vidhi, please remember. Sutak, same. No Pancharatrika Vidhi, but following Bhagavata Vidhi is very important even at that time. Chanting, reading, hearing. We cannot stop that. That has to go on. For live devotees like me, I don't know, live or live. Okay. How to offer bhojanam to Krishna when we are not used to cooking food without onion and garlic? Please guide on how to handle onion and garlic preparation because I have to make my family understand that taste comes without onion and garlic also. It's about art. I would suggest that go to your mentor's house, ask them that, I'll come for lunch, ask them to cook for lunch. Just eat, the prasad that is cooked, by these devotees. Oh, it is so tasty. So tasty. Okay, let me tell you something my personal.
Okay.
Personal. So I belong to a family where No, we have some farm and we have given that farm to my cousin. So every year, my cousin would send 1 ton of onion to my house. We will have exclusive onion sabji, onion uttappa, onion this, onion that. And when rotis are made, you know, we have this bajre ki roti and things like that, jwari ki roti. So at that time, you know, kacha onion, we'll, you know, just smash it and eat. So that's, so we belong to that class. So a person like that, you know, is there speaking to you today. But then, you know, what I could notice was, if, you know, we know the art of cooking without onion garlic, if we can learn that recipes properly, if you understand the substitutes for the same, then it's very easy. You know, the taste is also retained very nicely. And, you know, we have devotees, you know, who are doing that. You know, you can talk to your mentors, how they are doing it. You can talk to the senior mentors. They can also tell. Amazing recipes, and there's an amazing way to make it. And when we make it with love and devotion and offer it to Krishna, the taste, like, it becomes amazing, multifold times. Delicious, extremely delicious. Here in ISKCON Whitefield, we may, you know, sometimes we serve khichdi, simple khichdi. But people eat like anything. They're like, so tasty. Are, but it is simple khichdi. No, Prabhuji, it's extremely tasty. And people do tell, you know, even now, all the devotees who attended the last year Gita course physically, they still remember and they say that, Prabhuji, we are missing that prasadam that used to come from ISKCON Whitefield. So I would recommend that it's an art of cooking. So please try to learn that from your respective mentor. Try to talk to your senior mentors and try to understand, you know, how to cook. And a lot of recipes available. Same thing what we are doing. There are some alternatives that we have to use, and, you know, it will be amazing. Hope this helps you. Okay. Prabhuji, is our birth according to karma? But as in Garuda Puran, one has to undergo punishment. Is it same or different from karma? Okay, so see, what is given in Garuda Puran is, we do these things, and these things will happen. Match the column. What's there? Very straightforward it is given. If you lie, this is what you have to suffer. If you steal, this is what will happen. If you look at someone with a sexual eye, you know, you have to suffer, you know, in this way. And specific hells are also mentioned. So it is given, there's a discussion between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2. So in that, chapter 1 and 2, where, you know, clearly the discussion says that who will go to hell? This is the question that Vishnu Dutas are asking. And the Yamadutas are saying, anyone who takes birth in the material world will go to hell. This is the answer that they have given. Because it's very natural to commit papa, sin, when we take birth here in this earthly planet. Very natural. So, when we commit sin, we have to suffer for it by going to those specific hell. And then when we suffer there, and the time duration in the hellish planet will depend on the intensity of the sin that we have committed. Based on that, you know, we'll spend we'll have a nice picnic in the hell, and then, you know, we'll come back. So when our sin reduces, we'll come back again to the material, Bhauma, this earthly planet. And then we'll get a human form again, or some animal body, depending on the what sins are still remaining. And then we'll continue our life like that. So whatever sins we commit, you know, for that a person goes to hell, and then, you know, again the person comes back here, and then he gets, you know, some body to continue, you know, his life. So that this is about karma. So everything depends on karma here. You do bad karma, papa, you have to suffer. You do good karma, you have to enjoy. You know, you'll go to heavenly planets, you can enjoy there, and again come back when the, you know, punya finishes. So that's how, you know, this keeps happening. So Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Aloka Punar Avrutano Arjuna. He says that even if someone goes to the highest planet in the 14th planet system, again he has to come down to this material, this earthly planet. Krishna says, why? No, Shine Punya Martha Loke Vishanti. When the punya becomes Shina, when the punya becomes nil, or when it reduces, the person again has to come back to this earthly planet. Because here, only on this planet, no person has good or bad karma. In the hellish planet, the person just suffers for the bad karma. In the heavenly planet, the person just enjoys for the good karma. But something new, some new karma that is done here on this planet, earthly planet. Hope this helps you to understand. I was telling my daughter that we should not eat at midnight as it is not favorable time for eating, but she told me that we can cut the cake at 12 a.m. as Lord Krishna was born at midnight. What is wrong in it? Could you please enlighten? This is called the brains of Kali Yuga, you know, kids. So we can answer saying that one day it is allowed. One day it is called as Janmashtami. Only on that day it is allowed. Because it is very nicely said that we'll be discussing this in the next session, that how the entire day is categorized into three modes, and especially the night time is in the mode of ignorance. And that mode of ignorance is very favorable for the ghosts and for negative energies to be around. So when a person is awake at night and things like that, automatically the person gets into the mode of ignorance, automatically. And a lot of chaos will happen here in the mind. It is described that Krishna appeared in a jail. Yes. And the time when he appeared, it was pitch dark and the constellation, etc. was not proper. But it is described that as soon as Krishna appeared in the jail became the most sacred temple. And as soon as he appeared, the constellation of the stars, it rearranged itself to the most best of the best of the best constellation. See, so whenever Krishna appears, that particular time becomes very, very auspicious. So that one day is very auspicious. So that day, midnight, 12 o'clock is very, very auspicious. Now there, the mode of ignorance cannot be there. But then other days, when we don't have this occasion of Janmashtami, it is always in that pitch dark ignorance. So we cannot do this activity of cutting the cake and eating and things like that. And today many people will do, right? And Happy New Year and blast crackers and cut cakes and cheers and, shake the bottle and open the knob and nonsense. This is called mode of ignorance activity. And you see people in the mode of ignorance. Let us take the example of tonight. So they would like to have a very dark setup with dim lights. This is the sign of mode of ignorance, people. Yes, and then the food also that people would like to eat is all masala wala, and then nice drinks and this and that, whatever, hot drinks and whatever. This is what people would like. Mode of ignorance, natural. It is natural. Now, if you have bright lights and things like that, people would like, no. Dim karo. And that's the reason bars and pubs, they have very dim lights. They will not have dark light. They will have red lights. No, red. You cannot imagine red light. At least I cannot imagine that in our temple. Red light everywhere. Red light. So, and people who are in mode of ignorance, they'll get attracted to that setup. So, a person who wants to get into mode of ignorance and spoil one's consciousness, should do all these activities. At midnight, 12 o'clock, eating at midnight, doing this, doing that. So it's all at midnight. We can do that. So it is not recommended, one, to do these activities in the midnight. Eating, no, not at all. We cannot eat anything at midnight. The food will become so contaminated in the midnight that, we cannot think of eating anything in the midnight. Yes. But on Janmashtami, yes, because when Krishna appears, that mode of ignorance time becomes the mode of pure goodness, completely in mode of pure goodness. Yes. Hope this answers your question or your daughter's question. Very eager to know about Lord Narasimha. Just a minute. Okay, regarding Narasimha Dev, please wait not till Narasimha Chaturdashi, or you can refer to my previous class. I don't know if it is there on internet. Maybe you can send the link. So I normally speak on Narasimha Chaturdashi for 2 hours on Narasimha pastime. Amazing, like beautiful pastime. All the devotees till date, whenever we have discussed about Narasimha pastime, are in tears when they hear about Narasimha pastime. What mercy Lord has. For one small 5-year-old kid, Lord appears in a half-man, half-lion form just to rescue him. It's a wonderful pastime it is. So maybe you can, if volunteers find out the link, maybe you can send it to Priyanka Mahata, Priyanka Agarwal Mataji. So you can hear that and then you can say that. But then he's Bhakta Vatsal. There's no question of becoming scared of him. He's completely Bhakta Vatsal. He's so sweet. His form might be ferocious, but anyone who understands the Leela of the Lord, why he did that particular thing, oh, he's so sweet, so sweet. We'll fall in love with Lord Narasimha, completely in love with Narasimha. Yes. So no need to fear. See, in Krishna consciousness, that's what we're learning. See, the goal of entire Gita course is to understand and love Lord Sri Krishna and all his forms. And with time, it will happen also. When we start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when the revelation happens in our heart, we will realize that how sweet Krishna is and how sweet all his incarnations are. Externally, they might be ferocious for demons, but for devotees, extremely sweet. In fact, it is described that all the demons who were there, they were very scared of Narasimha Dev. And the five-year-old Chutku boy, small boy, in that entire arena where there were a lot of dead bodies, all the personalities were killed by Narasimha Dev, all the dead bodies were lying there, all blood was here and there. But Prahlad, only boy who had that strength to approach Lord Narasimha Dev with a garland in the hand, he was walking towards Narasimha Dev with so much of love and devotion and faith. And Narasimha Dev was roaring sitting there on the throne. But Prahlad went and he touched the feet of Narasimha Dev, and Narasimha Dev was completely pacified. And he took Prahlad on his lap and he started licking. And so this question was asked that, Prahlad, how come you have got so much of courage to go towards this ferocious form of the Lord? And you know what Prahlad said? Prahlad said that a cub will never be fearful of his mother lioness. So Prahlad could only see his mother or his parent, Narasimha Dev. He did not see any ferocious form. With time, when we advance in Krishna consciousness, our perspective will completely change. From the perspective of fearing God, we will come to the platform of loving God. Completely, completely loving God. Not even a tinge of fear will be there. You know what fear will be there? The fear of, such a loving God is there, I shouldn't lose him. This fear will come. But as of now, the fear is, if I do this, this will happen. Oh, if I do this, that will happen. Lord will punish me. Lord will burn me in hell. Lord will do this. Lord will do that. And all that is, we don't care about all that. What we know is, he's the most sweetest personality. And we are his part and parcel. We are his kids. Yes. And if a kid hits, for example, if a small kid is held by his father or mother, and a small kid, he hits the father with the leg or mother with the leg, what will the parents do? Now the small kid is there in the arms, the parents will take the child and throw it down, isn't it? And kill the child. The parents will laugh, oh my Lala, you've become so strong, you're hitting me with the leg. Same thing with our sweet father. We might commit mistakes here and there, but the Lord is like, you're my bacha, you're my small kid. I'll accept those hittings that we give to Krishna. He takes it as very glorious ones. That's how loving he is. So anyways, we'll try to discuss in our entire level 2 Gita course, we'll try to discuss about the sweetness of the Lord and the greatness of the Lord. Once we understand these two, this problem will not arise. This problem of fear will never arise. Never. And the day we start loving God, the day we start loving Krishna, that is a perfect day. That's a glorious day, the day of celebration. And I'm sure that all of you are so sincere, that day will come. In everyone's life, that day will come. Like the day was there in Prahlad Maharaj's case, where he went, touched the feet of Narasimha Dev, and Narasimha Dev was so pacified. Narasimha Dev picked him up. He started licking him and bathing him with the tears of love. Lord is bathing him with the tears of love. So that day will come in our life also. Hope this helps you. If any dead relative keeps appearing in our dream every now and then, does it hold any significance? Yeah, but dreams which are there. So whatever, you know, we have done in our entire life for a very long time, we're attached. Like if we have spent a lot of time, you know, with some of our relatives, and if we have spent a lot of time with such some relatives, then because of that attachment and lot of impressions on the mind, automatically, you know, they might, you know, reappear in the dream again and again. But what is the significance of that person coming in the dream again and again? It's a big question. So I'm just answering on a superficial platform that whatever we do, you know, the entire life for a long time, whomever we are connected with for a long time, that person will reappear again and again and again, even if he's not there on this planet. So this will happen. So this is on a superficial platform. But if there is a deep reason, if there is an exchange that is still remaining, if that person is expecting still something, he has become a ghost or something, it's a different story. So I'll not enter into that part. I hope this helps you to understand the superficial platform. When I'm chanting, my mind behaves like a monkey, not able to fix it on chanting. It keeps wandering. Various pictures come to my mind. So can we meditate on Lord's image and chant? At least this way I can avoid loss of focus. Kindly advise. Your mind is still like a monkey, but Shastras say that mind is like a... Please hear this description. So mind is like a monkey, but then this monkey is special. Now, monkey is known to jump from one tree to another and behave weirdly. Now, just imagine if this monkey is fed alcohol. Just imagine the monkey is fed alcohol. How crazy the monkey will become. And after this, if the monkey is bitten by 10 scorpions, just imagine how the monkey will behave. Multiplied by many times is our mind. A monkey fed with alcohol and beaten with and has been bitten by various scorpions into many times is what is the nature of our mind. It will behave weirdly all the time. So yes, we have to pray intensely to the Lord. This is what is my current situation. Please help me. See, only Lord can help. So one Vaishnava poet is saying, Tumhi Rishikesha Rishikadamiya. So he's saying that Tumhi Rishikesh, you are Rishikesh, you're controller of senses. Rishikadamiya, you control my senses, you control my mind. I cannot do it by myself. So that surrender has to come. We have to pray to Krishna that, you know, you help, O Lord. I cannot do it by myself. I'm a tuchha jeeva, I'm a fallen soul. I cannot control my morning nature's call. What will I control my mind? Please tell me, O Lord. I cannot do anything. I'm a very, very small, insignificant person on this planet. I cannot do anything by myself. Oh Lord, you're so great. You can help me out. Only you can help me out. Please help me. With this intense prayer, surely the Lord will help. And the suggestion that you're asking for, yes, we can do that. We can have the photo of the Lord in front. And we have to keep seeing the photo and keep chanting. But the focus is to hear. Not to remember the form, but to hear. Just to engage the eyes on something, we are keeping the photo of the Lord. But we are not meditating on the form of the Lord. Mantra meditation means meditating on the mantra, not the form of the Lord. With time, after 2-3 decades of chanting, automatically, you know, the form of the Lord will be revealed to us within. And that will be the original form of the Lord. So that will take some time. So hope this helps you to understand. Thank you for being so honest and calling the mind as a monkey. That's in accordance to Shastra. Okay. Is it true that Shri Krishna quoted in Bhagavad Gita that among all the trees, he is the people tree? Please read chapter number 10 and you will get the answer for yourself. Santosh Prabhu. Okay, so let me take this question and end the Q&A. I have to speak about the New Year resolution and we have to do mantra meditation also. And I have to also, I forgot, I have to suggest you all to read the books in sequence. So I'm supposed to talk about that also. It will take some time. The last question which I'm taking, other questions which are there, I see there are 24 more questions after this. Please have your questions with you. And next Thursday, please post it, the first go. I'll answer your questions. I would like to know if one can equally be good in profession and Krishna bhakti, or one has to compromise in one of them. Who is asking this? Santosh. Please elaborate. So the answer to your question is, when we are working, we have to work for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So Shastras, very clearly, they talk about giving heavy donations. Very much, recommend. In fact, one devotee is asking, Prabhuji, how much donation to give? Then I showed the reference, 50% of the amount, what we are earning. So it is not that the temples require our donation. Krishna is Lakshmipati. Sahasra Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sevya Manam. I didn't quote the shloka properly. Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sevya Manam. Yes. So how many Lakshmis are there? Sahasra Shata. There are hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis are there in Vaikuntha and they are serving Krishna. So temples don't need our donation. For our purification, we have to keep doing that. So when we give a heavy donation every single month, what happens is we remember that I'm working for Krishna, I'm earning for Krishna. So we have many devotees here in ISKCON Whitefield now who give 50% of the salary. Sometimes I'm like, because I worked for a few years and I joined ashram. So I didn't give 50% of donation. I used to give little, but not 50%. Because at that time I was not clear about about this donation and other thing. But now when I'm seeing that there are some married couple who give 50% of the donation, I was like, my God, what faith. What faith in Krishna. So I'm not telling you all to give donation. I don't do that. So the Shastras recommend that we should work for Krishna. So at the end of the month, when we get our salary and the part of it is parted with the Lord, what happens? Now we get that feeling, yes, I'm working for Krishna. And when we are working for Krishna, even your professional life becomes a devotional life. Yes. So it is recommended that the part of money should always be kept for Krishna, should be given in donation. We should invite more devotees to our home, feed them prasad, go for yatras using that money, and then, have elaborate deity worship in the house. So that part of the money should be kept, and it should be a huge part. So it is recommended that such thing when we do, keep a huge amount for worshipping the Lord in the home, in the temple, in the various dhams, automatically we'll get that feeling, yes, I'm working for Krishna. And when I'm working for Krishna, that is bhakti, devotional service. Yes. So that mood has to come. That mood has to come that, yes, I'm working for Krishna. When I'm going to office, so if the question is asked, why are you going to office? Automatically the answer will come, because for Krishna. I'm working for Krishna. As of now, our answer will be, no, my kid, the 3 lakhs donation and fees I have to pay. My wife has asked for a diamond necklace. My daughter, she wants a makeup set. I have to do all that. I want this branded jeans and this branded shoes. So it's selfish motive. And because of that, what will happen? That particular activity will not remain. That will not be bhakti. No, that will be bhukti. So where the person is enjoying his earnings. But when that bhukti mentality changes to bhakti mentality, then even the professional job becomes a nice service to Lord Sri Krishna. So this is a very, very important point that all the ones who are earning should understand this point. And when we get this mood, then there'll be no confusion. In fact, you will not feel like you have a two different life, corporate life and a bhakti life. No, it will be only one life, that is bhakti life, the life meant for Krishna. Because at home you're working for Krishna, in the office you're working for Krishna. What is the difference between the two? Right? So try to change the mentality. Or else, if there are two lives, then you have to compromise in one of them. It will become difficult. So try to make it one. Let the entire life be meant for Krishna, both at home, in the office, both. So hope, Santosh Prabhu, this answers your question. Not very difficult to do. It's very easy. Only thing is, we should have that goal. That goal of life is to attain Krishna, and I'm ready to do anything and everything for Krishna. So thank you very much, for your attention. Now please hear carefully. I'm going to recommend some books for all of you all, to read this new year. So today I was meditating that what can all my Gita course students do. So the outcome of that meditation is this, that you all can read certain books in sequence. Let me see if I can share that document with you. I'll also share the document in person, note to all of you all. Just give me 30 seconds. Oh, sorry, YouTube participants, I forgot again to take your questions. Okay. So here it is. So what we have done here in ISKCON Whitefield is, you know, we have gone through the books of Srila Prabhupada, and depending on the various concepts which Prabhupada has given in his various books, now we have recommended a sequence to be read. The books have to be read in some sequence. So here, these are the different books, you know, which are there. All these are the books of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has written 80 volumes of books. You know, we have got more than 80 books, you know, available. And this is a very nice levels that we have made, and we have given names also. Krishna Seva, Krishna Sadha, Krishna Upasak, and you know, things like that. So these are the books, you know, which are recommended. And this is the first set of books that you people have to read. There's a book called Beyond Birth and Death, Science of Self-Realization, Chapter 1, and Bhagavad Gita Introduction and Chapter 1. So you remember I told that there will be a short exam. It will be on this. It will be an open book exam. So today, you know, we sat and we tried, you know, calculating how we can club all the books and give it to all of you all. So yeah, I have these books here. So this is the Beyond Birth and Death book, you know, which I was talking about. In fact, when you read it, you'll feel like, oh, it is already, you know, nice, you know, it is already nicely covered in our Gita course. And there are many, many concepts which are very easy to understand. And there are various other books. So this book full we have to read. It's a very small book. Yes. This book full we have to read. And then we have another book called Science of Self-Realization. Introduction and Chapter 1 of this book has to be read. This is again a small book, not a big book. And Bhagavad Gita, Introduction and Chapter 1. This is the first level that we have to read. And then we have the next level after that, and next and next. So these levels are very important because this will help us to understand, you know, these scriptures very nicely. Yes. Because normally we have this, right? What next to do? What next to do? Normally we'll have that tendency. So here, you know, we tried analyzing what next to do, and we have put that level by level so that easily we can grow in when it comes to the philosophy, philosophical concepts, and even in our realizations. Now we'll keep growing, you know, if we go through this sequence. Yes. And I think after that, in the level two, that is the books, those are recommended in the level two. Not Gita course level 2. I'm talking about the reading level 1, level 2. So in that we have Bhagavad Gita. Now Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 to chapter 6. Then after that 7 to, you know, things like that. So those chapters are mentioned, and these books are mentioned, which will complement, you know, very nicely. So these are the books, you know, that are there. Beyond Birth and Death. Science of Self-Realization. And then we have this wonderful book called Nectar of Instruction. 11 instructions are given in this. If anyone can perfect this 11 instruction, oh, that person will perfect the entire life. And then we have Raja Vidya. So many, many times people ask about what is the best and the topmost knowledge available in Bhagavad Gita. No. Prabhupada is given in this book, Raja Vidya. And matchless gift. So amazing things which Prabhupada is discussing in this book about how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Getting out, you know, from this material world in this illusory aspect and things like many, many wonderful aspects are given here in this. And then someone was asking about Upanishad. So we have one Upanishad, you know, which is recommended by us, which is very, very important. Iso Upanishad. And these have 19 shlokas. 18 shlokas, 18 mantras, including the invocation mantra, it is 19. And wonderful. You know, the basic concepts of our life will be completely cleared, you know, from this book. And two more. Many were asking me one day after I spoke about Prabhupada, can we know about Prabhupada more? This is the book. Everything about Prabhupada is there, right from his childhood till the end when he entered Samadhi. Everything is there in this book. And Lord Chaitanya's teachings. This is a very wonderful book which has got various deep concepts. You remember one day I was discussing about three Vishnus. How from Krishna comes Balram, and from Balram comes Chaturvyuha expansion, from that again. All that is very clearly technically established, you know, in this particular book. So this new year, I was thinking that even we should have some spiritual offer And just half an hour before when I was coming here, we decided this. So all these 8 books will be delivered to you. 8, no? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 8 books. All these 8 books will be delivered to you to your place if you order it. Our devotees will do the needful. And the new year offer, let me be a transcendental salesman. So the new year offer is for 650, you get all these books delivered to your place. So all the courier charges are included, packing charges, everything the devotees will take care here. And these 8 books will reach you, you know, in this new year. So you can book immediately after the session. So this UPI ID is there. That UPI ID will be posted in the groups. So you all can pay 650 rupees and send that screenshot and your name, address, and saying, I want Shiksha set. So this set is called a Shiksha set. You can request for Shiksha set. And the other things we'll take care. Okay. So this details you have to send to your mentors or to Sriram Prabhu. Sriram Prabhu is the one who messages in all the groups. So just send him this screenshot, your name and number. Okay. So don't miss the Shiksha set. First time in ISKCON Whitefield, we have come up with this idea. Only for all of you, also that you know the sequence of reading the books. And these books should be there in front so that, you know, we keep switching from one book to another, you know, when we get bored. And we don't say that, Prabhuji, how much would I read Bhagavad Gita only? Oh, no problem. There's so many books. Read Prabhupada's Leela. Read Matchless Gift. Read Raja Vidya. So many books are there. So yes, go ahead and do that immediately after the session before your mind tricks. This is a new, for the new year, you know, this is one of the staunch things that you can do for yourself. Okay. So this is one thing, a very nice, important announcement. Another is about the new year resolution. Now, many times people, you know, take resolutions based on how can I advance, you know, in my material life. A lot of people, you know, keep saying this, how can I advance in my material life and things like that. Last Sunday, I gave a Bhagavatam class, Sunday feast class. And in that, I was speaking about this, a very, very important thing. That let's analyze our this year. So tonight, before sleeping, I request all of you all to answer these questions and analyze this year for yourself. And then tomorrow or tonight itself, plan for the next year. Yes. Some questions which I have put for myself is that in this year, 2020, how many people did I hurt? And how many people, or those people whom I have hurt? So how many of them have forgiven me? Or the other thing is, did I approach them to ask forgiveness? So tonight, I'm going to message all the people whom I interact most often and beg forgiveness, because you never know that, you know, our... You see, we are in mode of ignorance. We have to understand this. We are in this material world. Naturally, we are in mode of ignorance. Naturally, our, you know, vani will be hellish and will hurt people around. So it's better to ask forgiveness to everyone. So I'm going to do that personally today. No, before sleeping at night. So there's a question. One first question, how many people, you know, did I hurt? Second one, in this year 2020, did I understand what is the goal of life? Did I understand that what is the goal of life? Is the goal of life to become a very big personality in this world and settle in this world and enjoy in this world? Or the goal of life is something else? There's another question, you know, that we need to answer. Third one is, I've heard so much from Bhagavad Gita. Did I implement something of it? And can I implement whatever is told, whatever is instructed from Bhagavad Gita, at least in this coming year, 2021? Fourth question. Very soon, I'm going to become old. See how the time is flying. 2020, how it just went off. I still remember this was, I think, April, March end, March 24 or something, if I'm not wrong, or April start. We decided that we'll close our center, ISKCON Whitefield. And I was like, what about Krishna Katha? You know, where will I speak? And how will I meet devotees and other things? Then, you know, we heard about Zoom. I have never used Zoom before this lockdown, never. Even in my office when I was working, we had Skype and others. Zoom never I used. Then we discovered Zoom, and then, you know, this webcam setup and all this, which is there. And when I started speaking, I was like, "Are, baapre, no one is there in front of me. Whom am I speaking to?" And then we started, and then it's more than 8 months. No, we are just locked up inside. Just imagine sitting in the house, the entire year is over. And like this, our entire life will also be over one day. We'll become very old. If suppose we have a natural death, and if our destiny says we have to die out of natural death. So one day will come when we'll be bedridden. Natural death means we have to become bedridden. There is no question of we being healthy till the end and playing and walking around and laughing around and eating nicely, whatever we want. No, it will not happen. So what will happen is we'll get bedridden one day. So when I'm bedridden, what will I be doing? So this question we can ask today, that when, you know, in the future, when I'll get bedridden, which is very sure going to happen when I become old, have I developed enough taste for chanting Krishna's holy names that just by lying on the bed, continuously 24/7, will I be able to chant Krishna's holy names? Will I be able to remember the leelas of the Lord? Have I heard enough of Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? Not to just lie on the bed, and because at that time I cannot read, my eyes will not support. The only thing that I can do at that time is just meditate on, you know, whatever I've heard and whatever I've read throughout my life. So have I done enough? Next question that we can ask is, in this year, did I develop hankering to attain Krishna this very lifetime? Or am I planning to do in installments? Okay, today, this lifetime I'll do little. Next lifetime I'll do little. After that little. Finally, I'll attain Krishna. Or have I really decided this very lifetime, in this opportune moment, which I've received from Krishna as a blessing, have I decided to attain Krishna this very lifetime? Has that hankering developed in me? This is the question, that we can ask. And another question that we can ask is, in this entire year, what service did I do to Krishna? Did I do any service to Krishna? He's serving me from lifetime after lifetime. Did I do any service to Krishna in this year and previous years? Did I? Did I become, the next question we can ask is, did I become closer to my mentors, to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada? Because finally, the connection with the spiritual master is very important. Did I become, did I get established a strong connection with my guru? Did that happen this year? Did I get closer to Krishna this year? This is the question that we can ask. And when you start answering these questions, you'll find the reality that in what situation we are in. Going to gym every day, reducing our eating, coming back home early from the office. All these resolutions are okay, good, appreciated. But the real resolution is that have I developed all these things for myself in 2025, not 2021, I have to achieve. I have to. There is no way. Because one or the other day, that day will come when there'll be knock, knock. And you know who will do that knock, knock? Yamadutas will do that knock, knock. The death personified will do knock, knock. And am I prepared for that? So let this 2021, according to astrology, I heard that 2021 is going to be more horrible than 2022. This is what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. This is what I heard from authentic sources. So in this 2021, it hardly matters what is the material setup. For us, what matters is, in this 2021, we have to somehow get closer to Krishna more and more. We have to become more serious in bhakti, more serious. We cannot remain thanda devotees. Come on. Little bit of lighting the lamp in the morning and attending the Sunday evening sessions, that's it. That is not just bhakti. Every single day, every single day of the week, the entire month, entire year, we have to practice bhakti. So if you take this resolution that let me chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, and this 20, see, till now I was telling one round. Now I'll not tell one round. You all are qualified. Four rounds is what I recommend from 2021. Four rounds, which takes half an hour. So four rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reading these books. So sequence I'll send. Well, you can order these books. And anyways, I'll be sending the sequence. How to go about. And the first level books is Beyond Birth and Death, Science of Self-Realization, Chapter 1 and Introduction, and Bhagavad Gita, Introduction and Chapter 1. So these are the three books, and chapters, whatever we have to read. and hearing lectures. So we are going to send some Prabhupada lectures on alternate days or something like that, so we can hear that. Yes. These few things, am I ready to do every single day? This is the question that we have to ask and answer it as yes, and take this as a resolution. And at the end of 2021, I'm sure we all will be together again, 2021, 31st of December. Again, we'll ask this question and answer the question. Have I got closer to Krishna? Have I developed hankering to attain Krishna? Have I developed taste for chanting the holy names? And, and am I ready? You know, if Krishna comes today to take me, am I ready to go with him? Yes. We'll answer all these questions again. So these are the different questions which I request all of you all to answer today. And I would personally like to know, you know, some of your realization when it comes to bhakti. You know, other things, personal things, you know, which you cannot reveal, you need not write, but something which you can. So please write and post in your groups, and your mentors will send it to me. I would like to personally go through some of it and you know, try to understand your personal realizations. You know, after coming to this Gita course, in this entire year 2020, how glorious it was, and or how not glorious it was. And I want to understand that as well. So this is what is the new year resolution that all of us can take. And if you have noticed the talk that I just gave for the last 5 minutes, I didn't speak on the gross platform, nor I spoke on the subtle platform. Gross platform means I want new year, I want to keep my body healthy. Subtle platform, this year I want to get promotion. This year I want to buy a new house. This year, no, I want to, you know, switch my job or whatever. Yes. So that is subtle platform where, you know, you try to get some retaliation on the subtle platform, achievement. We are talking on the spiritual platform, a very high platform. And people who are intelligent will try to take resolution on the spiritual platform. Gross platform, subtle platform, theek hai. We'll take something. But spiritual platform is very, very important. Yes. So hope this helps all of you all to take a nice new resolution. And I would like to start from the Gita course session itself. I'm not a very, very, you know, good person with a lot of contamination in my heart. So 14 plus sessions you all have bared with me. So if I've hurt you in any ways, you know, if you have felt Prabhuji has said this and, you know, I cannot forget this, I would request you, please forget today. And please forgive me, you know, if I've offended you in any ways, even the slightest of the slightest way, if you've got offended, you know, by any of my words, whatever I've spoken throughout my classes, with folded hands, falling at your feet, I beg forgiveness. Please forgive me. And please bless me so that next year, 2021, you know, I get closer to Krishna more and more and help more and more people. You know, like, you know, you all you know, felt that you have got a great help. You know, similarly, we want to help more and more people. And this is one other question that I forgot to tell. This question we can ask, how many people did I help this year, 2020? And how many people am I planning to help in 2021? Yes. So with this, I would like to pause here. And the chat box will be open. Now you can post whatever realizations you want to. And now let's do mantra meditation for 5 minutes. And then we'll end the session for today. Yes, please switch on your videos. I'll play the Prabhupada dhun. And we all can chant on our beads. Please be there. Because this Gita course will end in just 3 or 4 months. And after this, it will be very difficult to get 100 people to chant together. Take my words. It will be very difficult. So utilize this opportunity.